Hallelujah. Well, it is my distinct honor and privilege again to introduce Brother and Sister Mike and Vicki Oliver. What a blessing they have been to us. There are some people's ministry that I've enjoyed over the years that's exceptional. I think we've been in the church long enough to have our favorite preachers. And the Olivers are some of mine. I've just grown to love them. They have such a wonderful way of presenting the gospel that is just so simple yet profound. And I just love them. I really wanted Roy to introduce them because Roy's very good friends with them. And Roy said, no, go ahead. I said, well, you're their friend. You should have the privilege. And Roy said that I did their laundry. That's privilege enough. So, Oliver, why don't you come? We love you. God bless you. Good to have Brother Oliver with us tonight.
Thank you so much. Let's give that hand clap of praise to Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We always have a wonderful time whenever we come to be with you. I am so sorry I missed this morning. I know I missed a wonderful service. 19, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, that is so wonderful. That is so wonderful. But I want to let you know something. This is a great church. But in God's eyes, we're all special. God is pouring out His Spirit in every church, every person that has an open heart. So tonight, come expecting. Come ready to receive. Jesus is here for you. If this is your first time here, you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost if it's just your first time here. You don't have to be somebody that's come forever and ever and ever. And you know, if you have doubt in your mind, just talk to the Lord and say, Lord, help me with this doubt. Show me what you want me to see. Let me see the truth. Because if you are looking for the truth, I'm going to tell you something. You found the right place. This is the right place to find the truth and to hear the truth spoken. Everybody in here is different. I see so many different nationalities and big people and short people, and you know, but God loves us all. It's so wonderful. He even loves those that are still a little bit under the weather, you know. But God is so good. He is so good. And what I have felt in here tonight is excitement. Excitement about what Jesus is doing. And you can have even more than what you felt tonight. All you got to do is open up your heart, like I said. And you might say, well, I've been hurt by so many other people. I've been disillusioned by what people have said. They've told me things that are hurtful. I want to tell you something. Give it all to the Lord. Put all that stuff in your past. And let Jesus touch you tonight. He is not going to disappoint you. You're not going to be disillusioned by what He tells you. Because He wants you to go to heaven. And He's going to keep working on you and doing His best to get you ready to go to heaven. Because, you know, as much as I love being here, as much as I'm excited about our daughter having identical twin girls pretty soon, you know, if Jesus would come right now, I would not be disappointed. I would be a blessed man. He is so good to me, and I have so much to be thankful for. I know Sister Oliver went through the four steps of worship today, and we do this everywhere that we go. We have so many incredible stories about these four steps of worship. I don't have enough time tonight to tell you even half of what those stories are. But we have just found them to be very powerful. Those four simple steps. And I'm going to tell you why they're so powerful. If you do those four steps with all your heart, what you're doing is you're opening up your heart to Jesus. And you're allowing Him to move into your life, and you're allowing Him to touch you. That's what makes those four steps so powerful. And if you can do that any other way, if you can do it your way and still make it so that Jesus is powerful when He touches you, do it that way. I'm not saying this isn't the only way that you can touch Jesus or you can feel Jesus, but when you do these four steps of worship, it creates an atmosphere in your life so that you can feel Jesus. Because when you close your eyes, it's like nobody's in here except for you and Jesus. You're not looking at your friends. You're not looking at people across the way. You're not even concerned about what Pastor Grant's doing because you respect him so much. But when you close your eyes, the only one you really should be thinking about is Jesus. And then when you lift your face, you're saying, "Devil, I don't care about the things I've done wrong. Jesus will forgive me. Jesus will help me. And you have no place in my life." So you're not hanging your head in shame. That is a great thing. And then when you raise your hands, you're reaching out to Jesus. You're surrendering to Him. What a wonderful thing to surrender to Jesus. And you know what that means? You're giving up. And that means you're giving up everything that's holding you back from touching Jesus. You're giving up all your pride. You're giving up all your doubt. And you're saying, "How can I top you, Jesus? You created everything. You have all power. I surrender. I don't stand a chance against you. But I know you love me, so I'm going to give in to your love. Give in to your mercy." And then you use your voice, the spoken word, and there's power in that word. When you say, "Jesus, please forgive me," He will forgive you. All you got to do is speak it out. But you can think those thoughts all day long, but until you use your voice, until you try to communicate with the one who has created everything, it's not going to do any good. So use your voice tonight. Tell Jesus how much you love Him. Tell Him how much you care for Him. It's that easy to feel Jesus by doing four easy steps if you do it with all your heart. If you do it and you really mean it. If you do it not concerned about anybody else in this room, only Jesus. That's what makes those four steps so powerful. We have seen an awful lot receive the gift of the Holy Ghost this year. And again, I believe that is because Jesus is coming back so very soon. If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, if you need a refilling tonight, make tonight very important in your life. Let's do these four steps of worship. And you know what? We're going to be sitting for a little while. Why don't we stand up in respect and honor to Jesus as we do these four steps of worship? The very first step, again, is so easy, and that's just to close your eyes. And remember, we're shutting everything out of our minds right now except for Jesus. When you think about it, when you think about how big God is, how big Jesus is, it's just amazing to me that He allows Mike Oliver even to talk to Him, even to think about Him. But He loves me so much He works with me every day. He helps me every day. And many times, you know, I forget to say, Jesus, please help me with this. And he still helps me because he loves me so much. He wants to help you. He wants to reach out to you. And the way we reach out to him right now is by closing our eyes, thinking about him and the price that he paid for us. He gave his life for us. He allowed himself to be tortured. He allowed himself to be ridiculed and spit on. He allowed himself so many things that are just not good for someone who has created everything. So tonight, keep your eyes closed and think about Jesus and how much he loves you. The second step in the steps of worship is to lift your face towards heaven, because that's the direction we really want to go. We want Jesus to call us up someday into the skies and forevermore to be with him. And he's just waiting on us not to be ashamed, not to be ashamed of things that we've done, and not to be ashamed of him. To stand up and be counted. So tonight, lift your face for Jesus. The third step again is to raise both of your hands, because Jesus raised both of his hands when he died on the cross. And he allowed them to pound those great big long nails into his hands on that day, because he said, I love you so much. He knew. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he did not have to go through with that. He didn't have to let them pound those nails in his hands. But the only thing he could think about is how much he loves you. And he said, I have to do this for you. I have to be the sacrifice for all the sins of the world. I know that you're going to come short. I know that you're not going to be as faithful as you should be. I know that you're going to mess up every once in a while. And I have to give my life for you. So we raise our hands in honor of Jesus, to worship him, to surrender to him. Because he's surrendered to those nails in his hands and his feet. And you're already doing the fourth step, to use a loud voice and talk to Jesus. Cry out to him and let him know how much you love him. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I praise your name. I worship you, Lord. Hear us, Lord, tonight. Hear us, Lord, tonight. Hear our cries, Jesus. Oh, we need you so much. We need you so much. Oh, I cry tears for you tonight, Jesus. Oh, you are so good. You are so good. Hear your people, Jesus. Hear your people tonight, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Could you just tell him you love him tonight? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Oh, he is here. He's come into the midst of his people to enjoy, to inhabit the praise, just like he always does. Hallelujah. I want to say while you're standing, what a wonderful time it has been in the Holy Ghost this weekend. We had some training on Saturday, some altar working, and then the service this morning, and then it will conclude tonight with the Lord filling some more folks with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some more folks are going to make their way to the water and say, I must be baptized in the name of Jesus. And then tonight,
There are some of you that have asked yourself here of late, am I growing in the Lord? Am I finding my purpose? Am I fulfilling the calling on my life? Or am I kind of just stuck? And the Lord is going to take us to a place tonight where we're going to look at where we are and things that have happened to us and get it all on the table before Him, where He can put Band-Aids on broken hearts once again, where He can deal with our stuff so that we can grow. A lot of times when we receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost, we receive it on top of bruises and broken places. And I like to think of it this way because it's simple. When He fills up a heart that has a broken place, a little crack, the joy leaks out. You don't lose your Holy Ghost. But you look around and say, why am I not growing? Or why don't I feel like everybody else? Why don't I have joy? Why couldn't I dance tonight? Why don't I feel that? Why don't? Maybe it's not your personality to dance, but maybe your joy leaks out. And you need what we call a deliverance from your past, from your hurt. We all have them, you know. Say, well, Sister Oliver, I took care of all that. You know what? It comes off in layers. You may have taken care of it once, but tonight's going to be another opportunity to bring it again and make sure it's not hindering you. So that's what's going to happen tonight. We are going to leave here in just a little bit with great victory. As you turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, there is no greater man and his wife. My daddy always said, no greater man that walked in shoe leather than John Grant. Brother and Sister Grant, I love you. I respect you. I know that if I follow you, you'll get me all the way to heaven. Nobody can do anything better for you than that, than get you all the way to heaven. So don't go anywhere. Don't leave. You stay right here. You be here every time the doors are open. And you follow the men of God. They'll get you to heaven. All of these people that were lined up here tonight, they can get you to heaven. Hallelujah. But you got to follow them. And I tease an awful lot. And I guess I am just kind of a big tease sometimes. I don't mean to be. But I like to have fun. But I want to say with all sincerity tonight that I love Roy and Lois Grant. These are awesome people. And if you don't know them closely, you need to get to know them. And I'm telling you, Lois is a very quiet little girl. She's one of those people who's going to be forever young. Matter of fact, when I'm in the nursing home or when I'm in the wheelchair, I want Lois to take care of me. She's older than me. But I can't think of anyone that knows how to minister to one-on-one. If you've never had Lois lay her hand on you and pray for you, you're missing something. Because sometimes the very quiet people in our lives are people that have a lot of authority with God and a lot of power with God. And I thank these people for opening their home and for loving us. With all our warts and bumps, they love us. And we love this church. Thank you for loving my Sarah, for my precious son-in-law, Justin, that you let us have a part of his heart. And now we got two little babies coming just almost any day. And I want you to promise me that you're going to hug them and hold them and squeeze them and love them and pray them through and all of that, because we're not going to be here. We're still traveling for a while. So I'm leaving that job in your hand. Hallelujah. Here we are in the book of Luke. I'm going to read a real short, quick scripture like I usually do. But my, the word is power-packed. The Lord was speaking to Simon, and he said, Simon, Simon. He didn't call his name one time. You want to get hold of somebody's attention, you call their name a couple of times. Simon, Simon, behold. Behold means look. And you tell someone that a deer is running out in front of your car, it's just fine for you to say, "Behold, there's a deer." Because that means look. "Look, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." The Lord was warning Peter. The devil wants you and he wants to pulverize you. The Bible says we need to be aware of what the devil's up to. Don't forget, he hates you. He wants to pulverize you. And you can put your own name in that scripture tonight. Now turn back to my favorite scripture. What is it? Acts 2:38. I think I'm going to read this every service until Jesus comes. I think I've just decided. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Turn to your neighbor and say, "The devil's not going to get me. Because I'm going to do what Acts 2:38 says." And you may be seated. Don't we have a great time when we all get together? Hallelujah. Now, all of these children up here, I want you to get your wiggles and put them under the seat. And put your back up against the back of the seat. Those are God's couches you're sitting on. We don't put our feet on God's couches. Okay? And I want you to take your wiggly fingers and hook them together. There was a gentleman tonight that thanked me for teaching him this. Hook your hands together and put them in your lap. And hold on real tight. Don't let them go. Now then, see, I see some of you already. Your legs are going. So use some self-control in your legs. Hook your ankles together and hold on. And I don't want you to go out while I'm talking. The only way I want someone to go out is if they are under 4 years old and they're too little to be up front. And Brother Oliver has a wonderful saying for the babies. Screaming babies are like good intentions. They should be carried out immediately. Isn't that a good saying? I love that. Why? Because you can't expect them to behave like 4 or 5 year old. It's not fair. Okay? And when they have a need, we take them out and fix their need. But now you all are old enough. Okay? I know you are. I know how smart you are. Because I talk to children all the time, and they're usually a lot smarter than me. Little boy, 4 years old, was smarter than me. Standing in the foyer of a church, I came in to unpack my things and set up, and I was trying to meet the children, and he was swinging on the handrail outside, and I was trying to make a friend. I said, "How are you tonight?" "I'm fine." He looked at my eyes, and I looked in his eyes to realize he had the most beautiful light blue eyes I had ever seen. I said, "Wow, you have beautiful eyes. Where did you get those eyes?" I was going to follow up with, "Jesus gave you those beautiful eyes." I was going to try to, you know, start to work on the ministering to the little boy already, just walking in the door. I said, "Where did you get those beautiful eyes?" He looked at me. He said, "They came with my head." He was old enough to be in service, to sit still and to get the Holy Ghost and all of that. He was smarter than me. He thought I was absolutely the dumbest woman he had ever met. That I didn't know that your eyes came with your head. Isn't it fun serving the Lord? I told you we were going to part two, and that's what we're going to do tonight. I'm only going to take a few moments, and then we're going to come to the front like we did this morning and let Jesus meet us here and do what he does best, and that's meet the need of every individual that's willing to come. I brought with me a Ferris wheel. If you missed it this morning, you missed. Step right up and get your ticket here. But don't dismay. You always get a rerun with the Olivers. You'll get a little catch you up. And so somewhere in here, you're going to hear it all. And I am so glad that so many of you came back tonight. I see your faces. I recognize you. You made an effort, and you won't be sorry anytime you come to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Ferris wheel. I always have loved rides from the time I was very small. I love to get on rides. It's human nature. We love to be rocked and rolled and turned upside down and our necks jerked around and scream bloody murder. I learned it makes it so much more fun if you just scream your head off the whole way. My poor dad and now my poor husband. And so I had a wonderful event take place in my life. I was just a little bitty girl. I don't really remember exactly how old I was. And I had two older sisters. One was 6 years older than me, and one was 12 years older than me. I called them the two ugly stepsisters. They were not stepsisters, and they were not ugly, but they were ugly. They treated me ugly sometimes because I was the baby. And so everything that happened in my world centered around big sisters and usually what we would do as a family, okay? But one special day, my dad woke me up on a Saturday and said, "Today, you and I are going somewhere, just us. We're not taking anyone with us. Mom's not going. Cheryl and Barbara aren't going." Oh, I didn't care where I was going. Just me and my dad. Now, remember this, daddies and mamas. Children need that one-on-one time sometimes. I know you're busy. Little girls need daddy dates. Little boys need mama to take them out sometimes. That's how they learn things. That's how they grow. I was so excited. My dad took me by the hand, and he put me in the car, and I didn't care where we were going. I was going with my dad. But boy, was I excited when my dad drove up in the parking lot of some little fair or carnival that was set up with all kinds of rides. And it was already cranking and going and people walking in. And it was me and my dad. He took me by the hand. And of course, he had to hold on tight. They didn't make those little leash things back then. And you can just well imagine. I was ADHD and they wouldn't give me pills. And I've told you before, I was a late in life baby. My dad was 50 when I was born, and my mom was 40. And so I was a late in life baby. I was oops. And so they had a hard time keeping up with me. You know, at 10, my dad was 60. So they had a hard time keeping up with me. And so dad was squeezing my hand. You know, he's holding real tight. And finally, when we got in the door of that place, I somehow wriggled free. And I made a beeline. I mean, I ran as fast as I could to the Ferris wheel. That was my favorite thing. I wanted to ride the Ferris wheel with my dad. I wanted to sit in that little car and go around and around with my dad. I've been on a lot of the little kiddie rides, you know, the little boats that just go around and around, but nothing really high in the sky like that. And I wanted to do that. And so I ran. I mean, I was in line. "Come on, Dad. Come on." And my dad finally caught up with him and he said, "Baby, come with Daddy. You can't just get in line. You can't just hop in line. Well, everybody else is in line. Come on. I'll show you what. You just simmer down. Just simmer down a little bit. Come with Daddy." And so he took me and got me in another line. It didn't look like it was going to be fun at all. But see, Daddy knew something I didn't know. And if there's one person that doesn't know this tonight, you need to know. I couldn't get on that Ferris wheel without purchasing a ticket. And you can't get to heaven without a ticket. I'm so glad that my dad knew that. But he didn't put me through the agony of waiting in a long line and then finding out I wasn't ready to get on. Don't come here week after week and sit and wait and think you'll do it some other time. You got to have a ticket or you're not going to heaven. I know I said that this morning. I don't have Alzheimer's. I'm going to say it every service, everywhere I go until I can't breathe anymore. Because you're not going to heaven if you don't have a ticket. And my daddy was the one that taught me how to get a ticket. And there we stood in the line, and my dad pulled out his wallet and he bought a whole bunch of tickets because he had to buy tickets for me and tickets for him. And you know how those places are. They just eat you alive. They want all your money before you leave. They got ATMs posted everywhere. They want all your money. And so there we were, now me and my dad holding hands. The smells, the sights, the sounds. Man, Greece just smells better when there's rides all around. Doesn't it? You know, just dip everything you can think of and fry it. That's what heaven's going to be like. Fried Twinkies and fried Tootsie Rolls and fried Buckeyes and fried bananas. And there we were smelling all those good smells. And oh, I mean, I thought I was in heaven, just me and my daddy. And we got in that line. And daddy said, now after we ride this, we'll go get us a corn dog. And then we'll ride some more rides. And oh, I just never wanted that day to end. We stood in the line and I kept counting how many cars there were and how long it would take for me and my daddy to get on that Ferris wheel. It wasn't going to be too much longer. They'd take people around four or five times and then stop and let them off. And then I begin to notice how many people were screaming, some of the kids, because it went very high up in the sky. And then when it came down, you know how when it comes down abruptly, it feels like your tummy's coming up in your throat. Oh, that feels so good. I mean, it's just, you can't explain it. And so when that happened, there would be people screaming and there were people waving and people with their hands up in the air. And I mean, it's going to be great. And now it's our turn. My dad and I stepped right up there and they brought that next car around. And the man that's always there, I told you this morning, that looks like he wants to hurt you, said, get in the car, stand right here on this line and then sit down when it comes around. My daddy picked me up and kind of helped me get up in there. And he sat down beside me and they pulled that bar around and hooked it in. And my daddy said, now you sit back. I don't want you to slip under the bar. You sit back. He put his arm around me. My hand was on the bar and his big strong hand was over top of my little hand. And there we went. I remember the thrill. I remember the sounds, the sights, the smell, the great feeling of being with my dad. We were going around and around. I'd never wanted to end three times, four times. And then when it'd go down, I'd scream, you know, just to be screaming. And I watched my dad grinning because he was so happy that he'd made his little girl happy. As we're going around about the fourth, fifth time, I knew it was going to come to an end. I heard a noise. It was a noise that you don't want to hear when you're sitting on a Ferris wheel. No, the car wasn't creaking and coming loose. However, that might have been better. Because what I heard was someone that did not like the feeling of their tummy coming to their throat. Every once in a while, you get someone that just can't do it, okay? If you're one of those people, don't worry about it, but don't get on those things. But everybody has that first time where they learn that they can't get on those things. This poor little girl with her sister and her mommy found out, I can't eat corn dogs and fried Twinkies and go on these things. I can't have chili and elephant ears and go on these things. I can't eat a funnel cake. I'm trying to be as gentle as I can. because that little girl began to make those awful sounds, and all of a sudden it's flying through the air, and it lands in my hair and on my shoulder and down the front of my little white t-shirt. I'm sorry. Just compose yourself. Take a deep breath. You'll make it. I looked over, and it's on my dad's big hairy arm. I'm screaming bloody murder. I'm just sitting and screaming and screaming and screaming and screaming and screaming. And my dad says, stop screaming. That's not going to help anything. Stop screaming. I mean, I couldn't stop screaming. I'm still traumatized to this day. And we're going around through the air with somebody's stuff on us. And my dad always carried one of those big old hankies. What do you call them? Bandanas. A red one or a blue one. My mom hated it. But he always had one of those. Now, she finally got him when he came to church to carry a white one. But I liked the red ones and the blue ones. Thank God he had his hanky. He pulled that thing off, and he began to wipe off my little head, and he wiped it out of my hair the best he could, down my face. He wiped it off my shirt, wadded it up, and he started wiping it off his arm. I'm screaming and screaming again. And finally, the Ferris wheel is coming to a stop, and they're letting people off. And my dad is trying to compose me. And he said, baby, it'll be okay. It's not the end of the world. Daddy's going to take care of this. Don't you worry. And I'm crying. I mean, our day is ruined. I want a corn dog now. It's over. Our day is ruined. And I'm crying and crying. It's going to be okay, baby. Now, it's almost time for us to get off. And the strangest thing happened. It went around again. And I said, are they ever going to get us off of here? I just want to get off here, Daddy. And my dad looked around, and all the other cars were empty. And we creaked to a stop, one car from the top, swinging. We watched that man that looked like he wanted to hurt us take his keys out and lock that ride, and walk away. Now my dad is screaming. I'm screaming, and my dad's, hey, come back! You're leaving us up here! Come back! Now how are we going to get out of this mess? We're both screaming, and no one can hear us. Because of all the people shouting down there about winning teddy bears and stuff. And all the rides making noise and the music playing and the laughter and all that's going on. You see, it's a busy place. And life is a very busy life. And when you cry out for help, somebody may not hear you at first. Nobody heard. And there we sat with that thing creaking and we're swinging in the breeze with somebody's stuff all over us. And we waited, and my dad finally got himself composed. And we're sitting there, and I'm crying silently, and my dad's still reassuring me, because he's my dad. We're going to get down from here, baby. It's going to be okay. We'd sit a few moments, and he'd holler some more. Somebody come a little close to the Ferris wheel, look up, see if it was running, and he'd holler at them. Nobody heard us. It's getting hot. We're in the hot sun. Nothing to drink. And my daddy says, all right, baby, you listen to me. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to climb out of this car. When I climb out of this car, I want you to scoot all the way over to the end of your seat. And I want you to put your arms around my neck in a bear hug. And I want you to put your legs around my waist. I want you to lay your head on my chest. bury your face and close your eyes. I don't want you to make a sound. I don't want you to look down. You hear, Daddy? You just hold on. That's all you have to do is hold on tight. I'm going to get us down. I said, Daddy, but. Now, you heard what Daddy said. Don't you say another word. He swung out of that car. He was hanging on the side. I don't know how many feet in the air. I scooted down to the end of that seat. I remember like yesterday, getting up on my knees, throwing my leg over the side, throwing my arms around my daddy's neck. He couldn't hold me. He had to hold on. Putting my legs around his waist, burying my face in his chest. And I felt him climbing down the side of that Ferris wheel. I heard him huffing and puffing. I felt his heart beating. I'm silently crying, trying not to let any sound out. I'm scared to death. I'm terrified. And then I felt his feet hit the ground. And my daddy set me down on solid ground. And he said, Baby, I told you I'd get you down. Now everything's going to be all right. I'm thinking, oh no, the day is ruined now. It's over. It's been such a mess. It's all over. And my daddy was smiling and he said, Now listen here, baby. What we're going to do, we're going to go over to the restrooms. They have an outside place there where you can hose off a little bit. And daddy's going to take you over there and I'm going to wash you up. I'm going to wash that mess out of your hair. I'm going to get it off your arms and I'm going to clean you all up. Your Heavenly Father tonight is so willing to clean you up. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll hold on tight. Take me to the water. Clean me up. Doesn't matter what's on me. Somebody put their junk on you. You had a horrible childhood. You had a bad marriage. You've been abused. You've been battered. You've been scarred. The ministry's hurt you. You're hurting tonight. And yes, you know how to say you're sorry for your sins, but you're not sure about the stuff somebody else put on you. Works the same way. Just bring it to Jesus. He'll clean that off too. He'll put a Band-Aid on your broken heart. He'll make it as if it never happened. That's what Jesus can do. Quit carrying around somebody else's junk that they put on you. The world will put its trash in your life. The devil will lead you to a place where you feel like you've got somebody's vomit on you. But Jesus can clean you up in a matter of moments in an altar if you'll let him lead you to the water with one sweep of his hand. He'll clean all of that out. Hallelujah. You will never be sorry. Hallelujah. But it may be a little scary at first. Just wrap your arms around his neck. Wrap your legs around his waist. Bury your face in his chest. Tell him all about what happened. Get it all out of your spirit. Pray it out. And when he sets you down and you walk out of here, you'll be cleaned up. It'll be as if it ever, never, ever happened. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you because it happened to me. Jesus delivered me and healed me of a broken heart. My wounds are healed. It's as if they happened to someone else. Hallelujah. We got all cleaned up. And I was still a little leery. What's going to happen? How's this going to all work out? The day's really kind of ruined. I was with my daddy. Now the day's all over and my dad was still smiling. He said, come on. You know all those little souvenir booths?
that you try to keep your kids away from? My dad said, come on. We're going to go look over there at the souvenirs. We're going to pick you out a new shirt. You can get anyone you want. You get Mickey Mouse on there or Winnie the Pooh. You can get whatever you want. You pick you out a little shirt. Wow. My dad never did that. And you know what? We're just going to throw away that old shirt. We're not going to take it home. We're just going to throw it away. And you're going to have a new garment. When you leave here, your Heavenly Father will not only have cleaned you up, but He'll give you a new garment, a brand new heart filled with His Spirit. You will have spoken with other tongues. You'll know He's in there. He'll give you a brand new garment, a brand new place to start. And that's what we did. Daddy took me and bought me a new shirt. I went in the bathroom and changed and threw that old puked on shirt away. Never to be remembered again. And then Daddy did the most monumental thing. He said, come on. We were going towards the exit. I knew it was going to happen. He was just going to take me home now. We wasted all that time. My dad took me to the exit, which was also the entrance. And we walked right up where we had just come in. And we stood and faced the park. And my dad took me by the hand. And he said, now, baby, we're going to start the day all over. We're going to pretend it never happened. Sister Vicky, will you come? And I want her to come alone right now. Praise singers, don't come yet. We're going to start our day all over as if it never happened. Do you understand there is no place in this whole world that you have that chance to start all over as if it's never happened? You can't get that on a psychiatrist's couch. A pill won't give you a new beginning. This world can't take away your bitter memories, your shame, your hurt, your pain. But your Father can. Your daddy can take you back to the beginning and start you all over again. I minister to enough people now to know. And when someone comes and puts their palms up in an altar and they say, Jesus, I don't want to carry this stuff anymore. I forgive my dad for what he did to me. I forgive my stepmom for those unkind words. I forgive my ex-husband. My ex-wife, I forgive. Lord, loose me from it. I've watched those people. God puts a Band-Aid on their heart, and He fills them up with His Spirit, and they speak with other tongues, and then they start right at the beginning again, and their life turns out to be something so beautiful. And God uses them to help others. And what the devil meant for evil, God turns around for good. That's the way this thing works. So don't push it down and hide it and pretend it didn't happen. You bring it to Jesus. Bury your face in His chest. Let Him give you a new garment. Let Him take you back to the beginning. You know, some people, even when they get the Holy Ghost, they go away and say, I know I felt something, and I know I said some strange sounds and words, but I don't think I got the Holy Ghost. You didn't see a lot of that years ago. You know why we see that now? And some of you are sitting right here. You got the Holy Ghost. You're afraid to claim it. Because you have been hurt so much. And you've got somebody else's junk on you. And there was always somebody ready to hurt you, to cut you down, to make you feel insignificant, to bring insecurity to you, that you're even insecure in the presence of an unconditional love, the love of God. You know what? You don't have to say a whole lot of words. I like to say it like this. It's a gift. You don't beg for a gift. No one is going to watch someone open a gift and say, you didn't open your birthday present right. You can't do it wrong. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you may just speak a few little sounds and words. But there's no little Holy Ghost and big Holy Ghost. It's all Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And you will look at it this way. You're talking baby talk in tongues because you're just learning. But as you grow, doesn't a baby learn to say more words? They don't quit talking because they think it's not enough or because no one understands them. You receive the Holy Ghost and you just keep going back for more. And it grows and it gets bigger and bigger. You say, well, I wanted to get up there tonight and dance and talk in tongues like they did, and I didn't do it. You will. You keep going back. You keep talking in tongues and it gets bigger every time. Hallelujah. But don't go out of here and say, it wasn't enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not going to claim it. You claim it and God will give you more. Now, this altar call is going to be very special. I want my frontliners to come and stand on the purple stripe here and face out towards the congregation. These people are equipped and trained. They love people. And they're just here to assist you. They won't touch you or hurt you or make you do anything. But they're here to help you. Now I want you to listen very carefully. If you do not have the gift of the Holy Ghost, you've never spoken with tongues, tonight's your night. Don't go out of here and say, I may do it some other time. I don't really feel like it tonight. Just give it a try. What could it hurt? If you don't receive it, you don't like it, you decide you don't want it, it's not going to hurt anything. But I'm telling you one thing. I read it to you out of the scripture. You won't go to heaven without it. It's not because I said it. It's because the word says it. Now, we're going to split this right up the middle here tonight. And this half over here, if you do not have the Holy Ghost and you want it tonight, I want you to come and stand in front of these folks. If these little girls are coming, some adult come with them and help them, please. Now, I'm looking across this congregation. A lot of you received the Holy Ghost this morning that needed it. But there are still folks that do not have the Holy Ghost. You need to come. If you received it and you're not sure, I know there's one woman that I'm going to pray with her tonight. She received it this morning. I want you to come, honey, wherever you are. Tonight's your night. Right here. Come on, baby. Now let's help them out a little bit. Sometimes when we all stand, it takes a little pressure off. Nobody wants to be a spectacle. But you know what? Every one of us had to do this at one time and say, you know what? I don't care what anybody thinks. I got to put my face in his chest. I got to put my arms around his neck. I got to get some help here. Holy Ghost people on this side, girls. Teachers, help me. Adults, help me with these babies. All right, come on. There's some other adults. You're not coming. You need to step out of your seat. Come on. Now, this side over here. You got somebody's stuff on you. You're hurting. You're wounded. The joy keeps leaking out. want you to come over here and stand in front of one of these people, and they're going to help you tonight. Come quickly. Now I need some worshipers to come in behind them as the praise team comes back on the platform. Let's not have confusion. I want everybody to close your eyes, raise your face, and raise your hands all across this building. Close your eyes, raise your face, and raise your hands. And the last step is to use your playground voice. I want you to begin to talk to the Lord. Children, out loud. Adults, use your voice. Let the Holy Ghost begin to operate through you as we take authority tonight. In the name of Jesus, as they sing, He's here.